Welcome back. Mornings, and I am rapt to be sitting in the seat that KB normally occupies with play on music that KB normally wouldn't counter. Nick Bowen from AFL.com.au has been a great man on the evening program right throughout the day, bringing us the latest from the world of the AFL, and I welcome him back this time, though. He looks a lot less footy and a lot more cycling. How are you, mate?
G'day, Finey. How are things? Yeah,
coming on the bike?
Took the chance to get it on the bike, which is great. So, yeah, nice morning for it.
Yeah, the weather, even though maybe even preferably not as hot as the start of the week, held up pretty well yesterday and today. And tomorrow is going to be a beauty as well. So I can understand why you'd get on the bike. And Hawthorn have got on the bike. They're up and away in Queensland. And has there been a better gift for football? Let's be honest, for the family and friends of Ruffy, for the teammates of Ruffy, for Hawthorn fans, but I think so deep is the feeling for any football, for anybody battling cancer, but for a figure so, I think, embraced by all fans, because he plays the game with a big smile on his dial. Has there been a better Christmas present for footy and footy fans than what we've seen in the papers the last couple of days?
Yeah, definitely not, Finey. I think it's so unexpected. I think we're all hoping that he would pull through, but not probably this quickly, which has been great. And I think a lot of us, given the initial prognosis and the whispers that you heard around it, sounded so grim, you know, really were just hoping that he would pull through and live a happy life and a healthy life, rather than even worrying about him getting back to footy. So that's just an absolute bonus. And to see, you know, the photos and he looks so happy, the smile on his face, back in pre-season training, obviously with the hat and well covered up in the sun, but it's just fantastic. And to see him back out there again is, you know, an absolute bonus, because I think a lot of us didn't think it would happen.
And vital for Hawthorn, who said goodbye with a plan. It wasn't the rug pulled out from underneath them, but said goodbye to Mitchell and Lewis. Said hello to Mitchell Lewis, which is odd. Lewis Mitchell. Now I'm completely confused.
Mitchell Lewis.
Yeah. Now they've got to find somebody. Will the best Lewis Mitchell in Australia please play football and be noticed by Hawthorn for next year? The fact that he's also a team leader is hugely important for the club, isn't it? Because it really now falls on to Hodgie. Has he been reappointed as captain?
I don't think so, Fonny. I had a quick look before. I think that it's sort of up in the air, but that's probably been the case the last couple of years. But this might be the year that they look elsewhere. There's no really natural successor if you assume that Ruffy probably is just going to concentrate on his footy, which I would assume he would.
And he may have been that natural successor without illness.
Yeah, but I think a lot of clubs like to appoint someone who's a little bit younger than Ruffy was. Jordan Lewis would have obviously been the other real candidate, but again, they're both pushing 30 now, or if not into the 30s. So it's just whether they go down into that next rung of players, the next rung of leaders.
Then
there's no one really belting down the door, I don't reckon, Finey.
94291116, Hawks fans, or football fans in general, and also the SMS, 0433981116. Who would be the natural successor to Hodgie if he was to a step aside for season 2017? Luke Bruce has recommitted. He's come out ahead of possible discussion free agency and said that he views his long-term contract at Hawthorn, even though there's not a sort of cast iron type of captain. He doesn't, the position he plays and the style of football he plays isn't traditionally associated with leaders of AFL teams.
No, it's not. Then you look at Jack Gunston, who's a great player. It's hard to really know probably some of these guys' leadership qualities, because Hodge has been such a strong leader, and you've had such strong vice captains with Lewis and Roughhead. So I'm sure internally that the Hawks, some of these guys are standing out a lot more than that they perhaps have for us neutral observers. Ben Stratton's another one as well, who's really very highly regarded. So Liam Shields perhaps too. So there'll be candidates, but I think that at least out from the external viewpoint, that they don't really seem obvious ones like, say, Hodge was when he took over from Sam Mitchell.
And Hawthorn take this position with probably, they mark it more seriously than other clubs, and I think have been rewarded accordingly. You only need to have heard Sam Mitchell at the Brownlow presentation Tuesday to understand that their captains passed the baton with real intent. And Richie Vandenberg, he marks still as a very important part of his life. Mm. Richie's wife was there. I don't know whether Richie made it, whether he got there. He was running late or something for an appointment. It was quite funny. But he's a big part of his life and still mentors Sam and Will in off-field matters. So people, when Richie Vandenberg was named as captain, said, who and why? Well, there was a very good reason.
Oh, exactly. He was a natural leader. He wasn't, you know, one of probably the Hawks' best players at that time, but it was a pretty tough period, finally. He really had that transition probably from the, you know, the 90s, early 2000s point of, or era at Hawthorn that was a pretty tough one, and led from the front. And I think he maintained that club spirit through some pretty tough times and handed it over to Mitchell, obviously, when the club was on the up. So he played a very important role.
People probably name Richie Vandenberg crops up and thoughts immediately turn to the line in the sand game against the Bombers. Let's go to Arthur in Montmorency. Good morning, Arthur.
Great, Fonny. How are you?
Very well.
Yeah, look, I just wanted to just give a... just let you know a little bit about Ruffy. 2 years ago, my little boy was... Matty was one of the, you know, the AFL NAB rising stars, you know, that go up on the podium.
At the grand final?
At the grand final.
Yeah, that's right. And he presented Ruffy with a medal. And I was not a great fan of Ruffy, but he was, well, funny because I'm an opposition supporter, that's why. But he was so nice to him when he accepted his medal that he said to him, thanks, little champ, and he gave him like a little rub on the head. And my boy remembers that to this day. He seems to be like...
Well, Arthur's dropped out. You know, it's interesting. Somebody would say, well, big deal, that's what you'd say. It's actually not what you'd say. You're there celebrating a premiership with your teammates. For some players, and not that this is in any way a mark of a lesser person, but they wouldn't even realise a kid had given them the medallion.
You can get carried away in the moment, and I think it's just such a nice touch to take that little bit of extra time and pay the young kid up there a bit of attention, and they'll remember it for their life, as Arthur was saying.
I could be giving away 15 Batakis and a Mercedes Benz, offering talk back on negative stories about Ruffy's personality on and off the field, and I won't get a call.
Yeah, there won't be any takers.
And if I'll get plenty of callers because people like prizes, but they'll all be making it up. There's certain footballers that just have and. More power to them through extended careers, being able to keep their crime sheet clean.
And he plays the game tough too, Fonny. Yeah, I mean, look at the 2014 grand final when he set the tone early with that tackle on Dan Hannanbury. So, you know, you hear Arthur saying that he didn't like him as an opposition supporter, but I think that even though that people love the way he plays the game, but even when he does it to your team, he's still one of those characters off the field that I think is really lovable. And, you know, it's not false, all this emotion that's come out over it, finally, just because he's been sick. He's been a lovable character before that. This has really heightened that, and I think everyone's just so wrapped that he's pulled through.
And him and his cousin Jordan have got great surnames. They're sort of fun to say, Roughhead. Rooley's in South Morang. Good morning, Rooley.
Good morning, Fonny. It's been a little while since I've chatted to you, mate. It's a bit strange talking to you while the sun's up.
Yeah, it's either I've moved to Greenland or Iceland or one of those, you know, 24-hour daytime places, or KB's on holiday.
Yeah, that's it, mate. Well, Merry Christmas, mate, and to both you gentlemen. Hope you both have a great Christmas.
Thank you.
I think Luke Hodge will captain Hawthorn this year. I'm pretty sure that that decision's already been made.
Yeah, apparently the website has him as captain, but that sometimes is
a carry on from
a throwback to the year before. Depends how good the website is maintained. But this is only a what if, knowing that in all likelihood it will be Hodgie, of course.
Yeah, that's right. But I think you'll find that the next captain of Hawthorn will be Liam Shields. Okay. Ruffy would have been the standout, I think. If now that Lewis is gone, Mitchell's had his time. There's guys like Gibson and Burgoyne and these sort of guys are getting a lot closer to the end, same as Hodgie. But I think Ruffy is the spiritual leader of that club now. Everything that he's been through, and I mean, he was still mentoring guys when he was sick last year. You know, I think Jared Roughead will be the spiritual leader of the club, but I think Liam Shields will be the captain, and they've got leaders, still got leaders on every line. So
yeah, really,
they're self-managed, really.
Yeah, great insight into the club there from Rooley. Hang on to the line. We've got two Batokis for you. Rooley, we need to take a break. I just wonder if Paul Puopolo started his career at a younger age at Hawthorn, because as a mature age recruit, he now would be too old to assume the captaincy, but he certainly seems to be a lifeblood and a pulse in that club, on field at least.
Yeah, there's no shortage of that in that second tier, finally, is there? And if you look at a guy who's clutch in those moments, I think it was against Adelaide this year where he kicked the goal, if it wasn't after the siren, right in the dying seconds. He knows how to get the job done.
In the studio, Nick Bowen from AFL.com.au, outside of the studio. A nice morning for many of the kids who are now on school holidays, as more and more schools call it quits for the year, which means more and more parents are getting more and more hot around the collar. Come on, we can make it. We can make it, I think. On yesterday's effort at my house, it's only a theory.
Yeah.
Gee,
yeah. I've got another week of school, which is buying us a bit of comfort. So
I've got one that's off and a couple that are still on. And boy, oh boy, do they know how to stoush. Talk about rivalries. Don't worry about football derbies or soccer derbies. Just take two kids in the same family and there you've got it. Daniel's on the road. You can call up on any football topic. Please do, 9429 1116. Whilst Nick Bowen's in the studio. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Finey and Nick. Finey, look, with the Saints next year, coming into the draft period, I thought we had three, glaring weaknesses: the tall defenders, the hard-bodied midfield, depth and speed. I think they've addressed two of those three, but with the speed, which, you would get with the early first-round picks, are we basically going to be in a holding pattern bordering the eight next year till we get those first couple of first picks the next draft? Is that where the quantum leap's going to be made, do you think?
That's certainly why Ben Long was selected. He's fleet of foot. The great hope that Nathan Freeman can overcome now 3 years of abject disappointment with hamstring injuries, two with the Pies, one with the Saints, remains a possibility. Speed in football is very much in the eye of the ball holder, I always say. Yeah. And I don't think St Kilda are obviously deficient in that area, especially in the forward line where they've got a lot of players fleet of foot. Jade Gresham, for example, I don't know how fast he is, but
He's pretty quick.
It's not that important when you've got the best sidestep in the game and you've only played less than 20 games. And
he's looking to move into the midfield a bit more next year as well.
And I mean that. People go, Jade Gresham, best sidestep. Mm. He honestly has off either foot.
Against Geelong when he
Paddy Dangerfield, he skinned.
Yeah, and he got that, kicked the goal late in the game where I know it was against a big defender in Lonigan, but he just made him look silly. He's got real class.
Yeah, I've heard him spoken about in terms of even prior to coming into the system as, watch this kid off either foot.
Yeah,
he's got a long way to go with other aspects of his game, but
he's got something about him.
He's
definitely
got some tricks. I wouldn't be too concerned about St Kilda's pace, honestly not, when you've got somebody like Nick Riewoldt who stretches his opponent. Mm. Of course, he's 35 next year, isn't he?
Yeah.
But he stretches his opponent so much on the run, it creates the sort of gaps and opportunities that pace provides. Where St Kilda would love some speeds off the halfback flank, which is actually where Ben Long, despite his goals in the VFL, plays most of his footy.
And they're not only having to rely upon the draft. I mean, they're going to be, I would imagine, pretty big players in trades and free agency over the next few years once they get up into the eight and become a really, really attractive destination for people.
Off the SMS, Gary Ablett Jr. has the best sidestep.
It's pretty good.
It is very good.
Yeah.
We want to see it.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I said maybe the best sidestep in the AFL last year, Jade Gresham, given that Gary Ablett barely played.
Well, the best emerging sidestep.
I think when Gary's out there, he's
hard to beat.
As long as he's playing, he will have it. That is fair enough. But when he's not playing, we'll give it to Jade. Let's go to Gary in Preston. Good morning, Gary.
How you going, guys? Hope you have a good Christmas and all that. Well, I just want to
Same back at you and your family, Gary.
Yeah, thanks. what I like to say is sometimes that necessarily the best player at the club isn't, doesn't have to actually be your captain. You look at some of the premiership captains in Nick Maxwell, no disrespect to these guys, Nick Maxwell, Tom Harley, even Chris Newman over at Richmond. They weren't the greatest players, but as you said with Richie Vandenberg, the way they led and the example that they shown, even you can go through history, some of the best. But I kind of think Grant Birchall might be a chance of also. I'll go for Richmond, I don't really care. But Birchall, he's been around him for a while. He seems to do the right thing all the time.
He's a great candidate, Gary. I reckon he's probably one who's in that slightly too old basket. I think that's what I think will count against him. They'll probably look for someone who can do the job for a little bit longer. But beyond his age, there'd be nothing wrong with Birchall being captain.
And I've said this prior to this discussion. We are talking about the fact that Luke Hodgson will most likely captain next year. And I've been watching football for 45 years. He's my number one choice as captain of all time. I find Luke Hodges' football inspirational.
Yeah, look, you can't argue with that. I think
there are people who disagree, but
he's got it all, hasn't he? I think he's courageous. He plays honestly. He's classy.
He also coaches on the field.
Yeah,
he directs. He guides. He lifts. He inspires.
And how can you not do what Hodgie's telling you, given he just puts his head over the ball time and time again, gets crunched by bigger players, puts himself in the hole frequently as in the back line, and just reads the game so brilliantly.
I mean, there have been great captains, make no bones about it. Look, the theory on captaincy ranges from Grant Thomas as he goes out there to toss the coin,
yep,
right through to Hawthorne's philosophy of we can't be a great team without a great leader.
I think that on-field direction that someone like Hodge gives is absolutely invaluable.